Our next presenter is Alan Nathan about research he did with Daniel Russell and Patrick Drain. Nathan is a specialty in baseball and physics, even has a website, baseball.physics.illinois.edu. He's won the Henry Chaddick Award from Sabre, and he's also a Red Sox fan. Here he is, Alan Nathan.
Thank you. So, do all wood bats perform identically? And if not, why not? So this is a question that I actually have asked myself for quite a few years now. And about a year and a half ago, I decided, wait a minute, with my background as an experimental physicist, I really ought to know how to answer this question. So the first step in any physics experiment is to form a collaboration. So I got some good people to work with. Professor Dan Russell is a acoustic physicist from Penn State. Patrick Drain is the assistant director of the Baseball Research Center at UMass Lowell. And Blake Campshire was a student at UMass Lowell. He now works for Rawlings, and Rawlings played an important role in this whole process. Okay, so let me try to get this talk into focus here. Suppose we have two nominally identical bats, and by nominally identical, I mean same length, same weight distribution, balance point, the shape, all the same. If a batter were to pick up the bat and swing it or lift it or do anything with it, pretty much, he wouldn't be able to distinguish the two bats. And the question then is, will these bats perform identically? If not, why not? And is there a simple way for the batter to select the better bat? This is an interesting academic problem, but as you might imagine, it's also an interesting practical problem. Okay, so before I can answer this question, I first have to tell you what I mean by one bat outperforming another bat. What do I mean by bat performance? And in the context of this talk, I mean by performance exit velocity, I'll use the symbol EV, under some standard game-like conditions, certain pitch speed, okay, and things like that. So high exit velocity, as we probably all know, is the characteristic of a well-hit ball, whether you're trying to drive the ball through a hole in the infield or a long home run. And if you need convincing, here are some StatCast data showing the safe hit probability as a function of exit velocity, and beginning around 80 or so miles an hour, it just increases very, very steeply. So exit velocity is the metric I'm going to use to talk about how one bat performs relative to another. Okay, so then that raises the question, what factors contribute to exit velocity? Well, pitch speed contributes to it, not a lot, a little, but it contributes. Bat speed contributes a lot. And there is this property of the ball and the bat called the collision efficiency, which basically represents the effectiveness of the bat to transfer energy to the ball. It's the symbol Q that you see in the equation. So given that these bats are nominally identical, I'm going to assume with regard to the exit velocity that the pitch speed is the same. And the bat speed is the same, because since they're has the same weight distribution, they're going to be swung the same. So the primary property I want to focus it on when distinguishing one bat from another is this factor Q here, this collision efficiency, which then raises the question, what are the factors that contribute to Q? And there are two types of factors that contribute to Q. One involves the static properties of the bat, the weight of the bat, the weight distribution of the bat. So, you know, for example, all other things equal, a heavier bat will drive that ball better. You would have a higher efficiency than a lighter bat. So the weight, what's called the swing weight, which is, if you like, the moment of inertia of the bat, the length, the shape, these things affect the feel of the bat. They also affect the swing speed of the bat, and they also affect this collision efficiency. I'm going to assume that these static properties are all the same for the two bats I'm trying to compare. So the only other factor that contributes is this thing called the bounciness of the ball. The technical name for it is the coefficient of restitution. You know, when one talks about the ball being juiced, you're usually talking about the coefficient of restitution of the ball being elevated or something like that. And exactly speaking, more bouncy, like a super ball, means a higher collision efficiency and therefore a higher exit velocity. So the bounciness of the ball is the thing I want to focus in on. And so here is a high-speed video showing a 120-mile-per-hour ball impacting a steel plate. And if you focus, look at the speed of the ball on the way in and the speed of the ball on the way out. On the way out, it's about half as great as it is on the way in. So if you cut open a ball, you're going to see a lot of yarn, right? And so you see that ball compressing against the steel plate. The fibers of that yarn are rubbing together, creating heat, and that heat represents energy that's lost to the collision. Okay, that's sort of the origin of this coefficient of restitution. The energy is dissipated in the ball. Now, for the purposes of this talk, the important thing to know is what also matters is what the ball is striking. So the bat matters also. The bat is not like a steel plate. A steel plate is a solid, rigid body. A bat is not a rigid body. It sort of seems like it's rigid, but it's not rigid because it can vibrate. Of course, anyone who has ever played the game knows that it can vibrate. I'll show you that in a second. So generally, instead of referring to the COR, the coefficient of restitution, one refers to the ball bat COR, which is different than what you measure by hitting a steel plate, or BB core. So I'm going to be using this term BB core a lot. So to convince you that bats vibrate, take a look at this. The top picture shows an impact on the sweet spot of the bat, and the bat just sort of smoothly travels through. But on the lower left, the ball is hit inside the sweet spot, and on the bottom right, the outside of the sweet spot, and the vibrations are fierce. The bat is almost knocked out of the batter's hands, okay? The sting that you feel in your hands when the ball doesn't hit the sweet spot, those are the vibrations that I'm talking about. And those vibrations represent energy that is essentially taken from the ball, okay, and given to the bat in the form of vibrational energy. So when vibrations are excited in the bat, that reduces this ball-bat coefficient of restitution, BB core, and therefore reduces the exit velocity. So let me summarize what we've done so far. The exit velocity is determined by pitch speed, bat speed, and this collision efficiency. The bat speed is determined by the static property, so these are all going to be the same in our two bats that we want to compare. The collision efficiency is determined both by the static properties, which are going to be the same, and by this BB core. And so it is this BB core that I really want to focus in on. The exit velocity of bats with identical static properties are going to be distinguished only by the BB core, and vibrations reduce that BB core. Okay, so with all that in mind, this is an outline of the research that we planned and that we are doing. We first obtained 18 essentially identical bats. They're slightly different, you know, meaning the same length, same weight, six each of ash, maple, and birch. And again, thank you, Rawlings, who contributed this. We measured the static properties to verify that they were identical, the length, weight, shape, all that stuff, and they were, to whatever precision is necessary to do this experiment. We, meaning Dan Russell, the acoustic physicist from Penn State, measured the vibrational properties of the bat via a process that I'll show you in just a second called modal analysis. Then the bats were shipped off to UMass Lowell, where they currently are, and the BB core, it was measured on these bats, or is in the process of being measured with these bats with 100 mile per hour impacts. The 100 miles per hour is a little bit low. You know, a typically well-hit ball, the relative ball-bat velocity, you know, might be 160 or 70 miles per hour. And we initially tried higher speeds like that, but with the way the bats were mounted in the device, we started breaking bad. So we really had to lower it, and we have to then rely on simulations and predict the exit velocity at higher speeds via computer simulation. That was my job. Okay, so let me tell you about the modal analysis. So you take a bat, and you see it's horizontal there. It's sitting on a couple of rubber bands, so it's totally free. You attach an accelerometer onto some point on the bat, and you have a hammer, a little hammer that you tap the bat at different locations, and you measure the acceleration at the place that the accelerometer is mounted, and you see acceleration as a function of time looks something like this. It looks like a real mess, right? There's some periodicity to it. Then you apply a physicist's friend, the fast Fourier transform, which takes this time spectrum and converts it into a frequency spectrum, and then it looks like this. And you see that this complicated motion of the bat neatly divides into different specific vibrational frequencies. In this case, you see the lowest one is 179 hertz, and the highest one that we could measure is 2400 hertz. And this pattern is very, very typical of virtually any bat you might ever want to measure. The stiffer the bat is, the harder it is to bend, okay, the frequencies scale upward. If it's softer, easier to bend, the frequencies go down. So we're going to measure these frequencies, and you could tap at different locations on the bat and look at the size of these peaks and map out the shape of these vibrations, and this is what you see. Okay, the lowest vibration, and this is not one of the bats we studied, this is something I prepared years ago. So you could think of it as like a vibrating guitar string, except that a guitar string is pinned down at two ends. This bat is totally free. The lowest vibration has two nodes, okay? If you look at those dots, those are fixed points about which the rest of the bat vibrates. And each higher vibrational mode has one additional node in it, okay? This is very, very typical of what you see when you do this on virtually any bat. Wood, aluminum, composite, doesn't really matter. Okay. Some physics. The collision time between a ball and a bat is very, very fast. It's less than a thousandth of a second. And for physics reasons, which I won't go into, therefore only low frequency modes absorb any appreciable amount of energy. In our case, modes with frequencies below about 2,000 hertz, 2,000 cycles per second, are really the only ones that matter. The lowest four modes are the only ones that really matter. So those are the only ones you really need to study. The others are not effectively excited at all with such a short collision time. So a stiffer bat means higher vibrational frequencies and therefore less energy absorbed by the vibrations and therefore a higher BB core and therefore a higher exit velocity. Similarly, a less stiff bat would mean lower vibrational frequencies, more energy absorbed in the vibrations, lower BB core, lower exit velocity. Okay. And so this is something I did in the year 2000. I mean, this is old. I'm sort of returning to a problem I initially began studying really years ago. And what you're seeing, so there's an academic paper that I wrote about this, and what I'm plotting here as a function of the distance of impact from the barrel tip, so you could see from the picture where the barrel tip is. I'm plotting the black curve is the BB core as a function of that distance. And you see it peaks at about 5 inches from the end of the bat. You know, different. If the shape of the bat were slightly different, it would move that around a little bit. 5 to 6 inches is sort of typical. If the bat were perfectly rigid, okay, you couldn't bend the bat at all, the coefficient of restitution would be completely constant. It would be this dashed curve there, about 0.5. But it's about 0.5 right at that peak, and then it drops considerably on either side. Okay, so you can see the importance of hitting the ball hitting the bat on the sweet spot of the bat. It really matters for the ball bat COR and therefore the exit velocity. The red curve Again, this is a computer simulation, so I have access to everything. The red curve shows you the amount of vibrational energy transferred to the bat. And just as you'd expect, when that vibrational energy is minimum, the BB core is maximum. Makes a lot of sense. So it's looking in the, trying to figure out how to answer our question about all bats performing the same. It's these vibrations that look like are going to give us the answer to that question. Okay, so these are the results that Dan Russell measured for the 18 bats. And so you're looking at vibrational frequency for each bat, and they, when I first saw this, I was amazed. I couldn't believe there was such a big variation among, and by the way, these are major league quality bats. These are not just, off-the-shelf thing. These were specifically made by Rawlings for this experiment. So you see there is a low of about 120 hertz on one of the ash bats, a high of about 160 hertz. That's a huge, huge spread. I never would have believed a priori that would have a spread that big. So I'm going to show you now the results of impacts on various bats in this collection. And again, this is still a work in progress. Oh, I should tell you how we do the high-speed impact. So that we shoot a ball out of a cannon, the bat is mounted horizontally, clamped at the end onto some pivoting device. You measure the speed of the ball on its way in, the speed of the ball on its way out. The ratio of those two things is the thing I call the collision efficiency. And you go through a little bit of algebra and you can find the ball bat coefficient of restitution. This process has been established for quite a long time now. First results, 100 mile per hour. The colored dots are the data. The curves are simply parabolic fits. They're not simulations. We haven't gotten to that point yet. You could see the differences. So 120, so I'm plotting BB core as a function of distance from the tip. The red curve is that lowest point, the 122 hertz ash bat. And the blue points and curves are the birch bat, 160 hertz. And you see there is a definite distance. And all I'm showing you here is the BB core. What I need to do is tell you how to translate a difference in BB core to a difference in exit velocity, and that's at the bottom here. A change of 0.01 is about 2 miles an hour. I'll leave it to experts to judge whether 2 miles an hour. I mean, if you were a batter and you knew you could get 2 extra miles an hour, I think you'd want it. Here's another, so the same two bats, blue and red, and now a third bat in between the maple bat, 144 hertz. It's neatly right between the frequencies, okay? And indeed, the BB core is right in between them. So it all seems to hang together. Here are two bats, M4 and B, a maple and a birch, that have nearly identical frequencies, and sure enough, the curves look identical, more or less. Okay, so in cases where you'd expect a big difference in BB core because of a difference of frequency, you see it. And in cases where you don't expect it, you don't see it. And of course, I'm only showing you the best cases here. This is a work in progress. All right, tentative collusions. And again, reminder, it's a work in progress. Nominally identical bats do not perform identically. That's the answer to the question. That we know. There is now a body of evidence from these experiments that suggests that the differences in the bending stiffness are the primary reason for the difference in performance. The frequency of the lowest bending mode, the thing that is 122 hertz, 144, whatever hertz, is very likely a good predictor of the relative bat stiffness. And if you are a musician with a good ear, you could measure that just by holding the bat lightly, near the knob, maybe 6 inches in from the knob, and sort of tapping it somewhere near the label and listen. Dan Russell, who in addition to being a physicist is a music performer, can do that. He can measure frequency differences. There are also smartphone apps for frequency analysis of sound, and I've found several of them. So I think there's probably a very good way for players to actually be able to select the best bats for use in a game. And that's it. I'm happy to take your questions.
Yes, what differences, if any, are there in the bending, the vibration, the location of the sweet spot if you choked up on the bat?
Not very much, because the there's a whole section of my website devoted to the quotes, "the grip doesn't matter." The bat, on the very short time scale of the ball-bat collision, can essentially be treated like a free body. And so we're assuming that you're not choking up so far that you're near the impact, but as long as you're still, you know, pretty far down the handle, it doesn't affect the sweet spot.
Ellie De La Cruz has been using a bat with a bat sensor on the end of the knob. It's a plastic sensor piece. There is no actual sensor in it, but he's been going to the plate with it. Does that have any impact on how the bat performs itself in terms of minimizing vibrations or accentuating them in any way, shape, or form?
No. Well, it has no impact at all on what happens to the ball. It might, because you're adding mass to the knob, it's not a lot of mass, it might dampen the vibrations more quickly. So it might affect the feel of the bat after the collision has already occurred, but the sensor is so far from the impact point that it can't possibly have an effect on the what happens to the ball.
Thank
good
you.
Question.
On the major league level, maple bats seem to be supplanting the old ash bats, and I was never clear if that was something that provided a clear advantage or just a psychological one. The players thought they hit better with maple, so they hit more, so they hit with maple. Did you find anything in your research to prove or disprove anything to of one type of wood bat over another?
Quick answer, no. one would have to look at a larger collection of bats to be able to do that. But, you know, the switch to maple is determined by largely two things, the emerald ash bore, what is it called?
The emerald ash bore.
Ash are disappearing, and Barry Bonds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was curious, everybody's looking for that last little advantage. Have you looked at the effect of the grain angle, and particularly the grain angle relative to the desired launch angle? Would there be a benefit to canting the bat when you swing to get more impact?
So one of the things that we did during the modal analysis is we compared the two different orientations. They're called face grain and edge grain. Face grain and edge grain. So for ash, you're supposed to presumably hit edge grain. For maple and birch, you're supposed to hit face grain. So we looked to see whether we could see different vibrational frequencies, and we do, but we have not thoroughly tried to analyze that in the data yet.
Right. Have you looked into the different types of handles, like an axe bat versus a traditional knob handle, or a cup versus uncup bat, as to how that might change the BB core, and if one's really beneficial over another?
No, we haven't. I mean, again, all of our bats literally were identical in shape, so we didn't try looking at the axe knob or anything like that. It would be an interesting study to do, but my guess is it probably has no effect at all on the BB core. It might affect how the bat is swung,
okay.
But yeah.
Can you, before, by doing this tapping and stuff, determine exactly where the sweet spot is? And second of all,
yeah.
How much between, let's say, two bats that were the best bat, the worst bat, are you going to get in EV difference?
Okay, first question, by doing this tapping, you could easily find the node of the lowest vibrational mode. The actual sweet spot is really maybe an inch or inch and a half or so from that, because it occurs when all the vibrations are minimized. It actually occurs close to the node of the second vibration. If you've got a good ear, you could do it. I don't, but okay.
Well, you'd also have the problem then, can the batter then correlate that with how he's going to hit the ball?
Possibly. Now, the second question, sorry, I forgot your second question.
Between different bats, how much expected EV can you get? In other words, let's say a guy is doing this systematically to try and get his advantage. How much difference EV is he going to get?
Oh, difference, yeah. Well, I showed you differences of order 2, 3, 4 miles. I mean, not small. I mean, if you've got something like this one ash bat that had a vibrational, a lowest vibration of 122 versus the Burt's that was 160, you know, at impacts a little bit further from the barrel than the sweet spot, you know, maybe 8 inches from the tip, there were like 4 or 5 miles an hour difference. That's huge, absolutely huge.